All right. Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of Interrupted. I am your unorthodox host today. I am Jake, normally just part of the round table, but today I'm filling in for Brian. Couldn't be here tonight, unfortunately. I had some things come up, so we wish him the best. But tonight, it's just myself, Matt, and Haley. Matt, Haley, how are we doing tonight?
Doing damn good.
Doing good. It's been a long week, ready for it to be over.
I feel
it's
that.
It's only Wednesday. We still got a couple days left.
I feel that. I barely worked for two of them, and I just want the week to be over. I am done. We're supposed to get snow and ice tomorrow, too, so that's going to be a fun day, at least for us. I don't know how the weather's going to look for you in the mountains there, Haley.
I think it's starting already.
Is it?
I mean, Arizona's not too bad. We just had, like, a lot of wind and rain the past couple of days. So, kind of waiting for that to be over.
Yeah. I wish we just had rain and wind. We get snow. Sometimes hurricanes. Yep.
My dad's like, I do sometimes not rain. Miss the East Coast.
No, I do not. And I live in it. But regardless, we still have to carry on and move forward. So, today is just kind of going to be a simple show. There's some things to talk about, but there's not too much going on. It's the slow season. Few things Pats-wise we're going to talk about, maybe throw in some other things if we think about it or just start talking about it along the way. But realistically, I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on how you feel about the Patriots so far. I know, Matt, you and I have had some discussions, so I kind of have a feeling of where you are. But Haley, you and I, this is honestly the first time we've ever talked. Nice to meet you, by the way. But I kind of want to get how you guys at this point in time, after what's transpired at least the past week and the past month or off season, how you guys feel about the Patriots right now.
For me, obviously, growing up and seeing them succeed, it's been really hard in these past couple 2 years. Kind of people poking fun, oh, your team sucks now, and it's hard to watch, and I know we're in our rebuilding, but it's also been hard when you have a young quarterback and inconsistency with your offensive coaching and sorts of things like that. But coming from Arizona, of course, I would like to see D-Hop go to the Pats, but that's just coming from me being a biased Arizona person. I would like to see him go back out there. But, I mean, not too many moves going on right now. I'm excited to see what Bill Belichick does. I know he is not one to pay people, so we'll see. We'll see who'll take our offers.
Yeah. You thinking the same thing, Matt? Because I know there was some talk earlier this week about how people on the inside view Mac and Bailey Zappi as almost equals, and that was something that kind of terrified me. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on that and about the Pats as well.
Well, first off, you hit the nail on the, you were right on with this time of year. I always say late February is the worst time of the year.
Not much going on.
It sucks in every way. Football's over. The weather sucks. And until it's like mid-March and free agency starts back up and we start getting close to playoffs with other sports, it really fucking blows. In terms of the Pats, I think Haley was right on with D-Hop. I think that's got to be, I think, your number one target besides maybe Jerry Jeudy, but we don't know if he's going to be available. We know more than likely, even if the Arizona says that they might keep him after all, which they probably will just to up offers, he'll be available for the right price. If you can get him, go and get him. I can't imagine it's going to cost too much. Maybe a third and fourth, something like that, or maybe a two, depending on kind of the spot.
That's for that 14th. Would you give that 14th to them, their D-Hop?
Oh, no. The only people I'm trading number 14 for is probably T. Higgins.
Really?
Yeah. See, I mean, D-Hop's too old.
Yeah, it's maybe because I grew up with D-Hop, but I feel like that would be the other way around for me. I feel like I'd give up the first rounder for D-Hop, truthfully.
He is kind of very, very good, but the reality is, it's like he's 30, it's also, I think 30 now. Yeah, he's getting up there where it's, are you going to trade a first-round pick and pay this guy north of probably $20 million a year for him to maybe be in your team for 2 or 3 years? I know I can't justify doing that. And I think if you're willing to give up 14, you can get a much better overall option. Maybe not physical player the next 2 years.
Yeah, I agree kind of with that. Just because his age. I do agree with you with that because his age. We do need someone who's young and kind of going to be with
us
for a long time. Yeah, so I kind of see where you're going with like getting a younger player who's probably going to be signing a longer contract who will probably have bigger impact on the team. I just like D-Hop in the aspect that he's has that experience and he can bring that level of experience to our wide receivers. But
he's exactly what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be elite for the next 2 years. It's just like at his age and what he'll cost contract-wise, I would be shocked if they got more than like a second and a fourth. Yeah, absolutely shocked. And I wouldn't even say that much. I think like a mid to low end second or like I said, a third or a fourth or something like that. Because no matter what, he's only going to be here for probably two to three years max. And you have to pay him 20 to 25 million a year. I mean, that just the value of going around the league. I mean, Amari Cooper got traded for a fourth round pick last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, especially when you got to think about, you know, you also got to pay quarterbacks at some point too. My thinking is there's no way, shape, or form, no question about it, that you need to go out and get a number one wide receiver this year. The mantra has been get the number one guy for a quarterback that you know is serviceable or could maybe be a top 12 guy in the league and ride the wave. A lot of teams have done that. The Patriots don't always follow suit with what the rest of the league does, though. They've always kind of done their own thing and, you know, coasted along, you know, the Patriot way. We're going to keep chugging on our own, you know, track. We're not going to change. We're keep laying it down. We're going straight. We don't have to veer off that path. We want D-Hop and T. Higgins. We kind of need a guy like D-Hop or T. Higgins. But the ultimate likelihood, I don't know if we're going to actually get something like that. What I expect is us to re-sign Nelson Agholor and just roll with that. That's my
expectation. I wouldn't go and that far.
That's kind of where my pessimism lives with the Patriots right now. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they did do that. I know they ultimately won't, but that's just kind of where I lay right now with how I think about this team, because I really don't know the direction they're going to go. But there's no question about it. Whether you go in through the draft or whether you go ultimately, you know, maybe sign a guy in free agency or trade for a guy, you need a number one guy for Mac Jones. And that's going to kind of lead into my next talking point as well, is with the offensive line as well. We saw the Patriots re-sign Connor McDermott, 2 years, $3.6 million. Where we need weapons, we also need offensive line. And the one thing that Mac Jones really kind of, you know, got into last year was a headspace of giving up on plays early because his line sucked. There was a lot of times where he could have maybe stepped up in the pocket or extended the play had he had an offensive line that it could have given him that possibility. Now, McDermott started the last 6 games for the Patriots last year, especially after Isaiah Wynn kind of got hurt and kind of almost lost his spot, essentially. Swing tackle or starting right tackle? Your guys' thoughts?
I would go swing tackle. I mean, I don't see they have enough money where I would just be genuinely shocked if they went into training camp with anything other, like with Trent Brown on the left and McDermott on the right, with no real competition really for either of them. I mean, Trent Brown was healthy this past year, but he's not really reliable, and quite honestly, he was pretty freaking underwhelming last year.
Oh yeah, Trent Brown was so underwhelming.
I'm pretty sure he came into camp overweight too. I think that was true.
What's that?
Didn't he come into camp overweight last year? Something like that?
So he came into camp in 2021.
Yeah.
Way overweight. He played, I think, 2021 at around like 385 pounds, which is just absolutely unbelievable. So when they re-signed him, part of his contract, every single Thursday during the season, he had a weekly weigh-in bonus. And he had to weigh under 365, and if he did, he'd get his weekly bonus.
Wow.
And that just kind of tells you of, like, you know, Trent Brown, when he's on, he's good, but he's lazy. He's freaking lazy. Mm-hmm. He kind of gave up on the team at times last year, and he gave up just some really stupid, stupid penalties.
Yep, I agree. Penalties kill. I mean, penalties kill. You see it all the time. And every time I was like, how are you going to give up penalties? You're a veteran. It was very frustrating last year. And I think the offensive line was frustrating. I mean, offensive line plays a big part in having your QB be in the pocket. We know Bill Belichick likes his pocket QBs. You have to have a good offensive line if you're going to have that type of QB. We don't have a Patrick Mahomes. We don't have a Lamar Jackson. He's developing, like Bill Belichick likes how Tom Brady developed in the pocket, and that's what he wants Mac Jones to do. So I think the offensive line really needs to step it up. I mean, we know the type of quarterback Bill Belichick wants. You got to be better than that.
If they could go and get, I mean, the problem is with, if you moved on from Trent Brown, there's not much for left tackles in the free agent market. So if you were to get a free agent tackle, it's probably going to be on the right side. But if they were to go and get a Mike McGlinchey or a Juwan Taylor.
Well, Taylor Gabon just got released today, too.
Yeah. I mean, if he still wants to play.
If he wants the money.
Guy from Atlanta. I want to say it's Caleb McCrary or something like that. I forget his last name. If they want to spin on the right side,
a couple years ago,
they could go and get a rock solid right tackle, and then they could go into the draft. And I don't think that they should change anything. And I would, if they could get, let's say, McGlinchey on the right side, draft Broderick Jones in the first round, and then once you get Jones, say bye to Trent Brown, move on, save the cap space. You'll have the money because after June 1st, no, it's not June 1st. I forget the exact date, but at some point, free agents stop counting towards comp picks. And, you know, go into that second wave of free agency, add a veteran swing tackle to back up Jones on the left side. And then you can go in with, let's say, Broderick Jones, McGlinchey, McDermott, and, you know, a veteran.
Yeah.
I think it's the best bet that they should go down.
Yeah, because honestly, right now, you're most likely going to lose Wynn. I really don't see a way he comes back. At that point, you have, I think Marcus Cannon's still under contract, if I'm not mistaken, when he came back. So realistically, you kind of going to need to do something this year in the draft. So that kind of always, you know, again, puts the Patriots in that position where, what do you do in the first round? Ultimately, I know we're talking a lot of receiver. We're potentially now talking line. There's a lot of ways that we can go about this. I think ultimately, number one, you need to get younger. I wouldn't mind, you know, usurping a lot of these potential future drafts or potential future players from the draft. You've had decent drafts the past couple of years. The Patriots have had very good drafts, you know. Absolutely. So it wouldn't shock me if the Patriots maybe came out and had another good draft, but it's... You know, do you trade that first rounder for someone that you need, or do you use it for someone that you want to develop? I don't know. It's very questionable on, you know, what they could very ultimately do with it at the end of the day. You know, because I could also see him using it on a corner or maybe an edge rusher as well. You know,
if they week one of the season, let's say they traded. After June 1st, they traded a 2024 third for Brandon Cooks. They traded it back from 14, got a future third to recoup that third you just gave up for Cooks. So you're not even giving up future picks and capital. You go into the low 20s, you draft Zay Jones, you draft a tackle in the second round, let's say you sign, you'll have money still in free agency to address other positions, but just in a whole, how would you feel as the receiving core if they went in with Brandon Cooks, Parker, Thornton, Zay Flowers, and Kendrick Bourne?
I'd be thrilled with that. However, I don't know if the need for Zay Flowers would be relative in that position.
I still think they need someone inside, and he cooks. Man, he is.
I know he does.
He's so good inside. He can get in and out of his cuts really quick. He's so hard to cover.
Yeah, but again, you know, if you keep, you know, a guy like Myers, or, you know, if Bourne can somehow, you know, God, I will help Patricia. We'll talk about Patricia in a second. But or I could see a guy like Bourne. Bourne was serviceable in the slot as well. I just don't know if Zay Jones at that point, especially if you get Brandon Cooks, I don't know if a guy like Zay Flowers is really a guy you need in that position. You know, I just feel like your wide receiver room would be almost too crowded at that point.
They could always get Cooks and then trade back and then say take a tackle in the first round and then maybe in the second or third take a slot guy instead.
I'm just thinking that way because where you spent the second on Thornton last year, if you do that, you're almost saying that, you know, Thornton's probably not what you thought he was. And then you just wasted another second round pick in, you know, a long plethora of drafts where your second round pick has been. So I'd rather not see that. I don't want to give up on him yet. So that's kind of why I think that way. But, you know, if that scenario were to happen, I wouldn't sit here and be pissed off about it. I'd be absolutely ecstatic about that. You get youth in a position, in a group position that you need it. You get more speed and you get more hands for a quarterback that really needs to, you know, connect with someone and just find, you know, this guy that he can connect on plays with on third down, or just needs to, you know, get a nice touchdown, you know, a long touchdown, just make plays, you know, because this is not only the year for Bill Belichick and, you know, building this roster again, it's for Mac Jones as well. I really want to see Mac do well. And I know from time to time I'll be a spaz and be like, oh, be zappy, blah, 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 and be, you know, sarcastic. But I do want to see Mac succeed. And this is a really telling year, especially given how Daniel Jones has just performed and how Daniel Jones might be playing under the franchise tag this year and how he's asking for $45 million or north of that.
Don't even get me started.
I know.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I think speed. We need speed bad in our, like, and bringing up Julian Edelman, you need a really good slot receiver like that, where every third down,
you need your blanket.
You need it. And I just think that's what we need. We need a slot receiver again. We need an Edelman. That's just what we need. He was always there third down. He was always fighting for that. He was always there. He was the best on third down. That's just what we need. We need a slot receiver. And with Mac Jones, I have a lot of faith in him. I keep pushing the Mac Jones. I don't know. I feel bad for the kid. He came into a team during rebuilding on a team that had Tom Brady that he had to take over. And I just feel like he was put in that position and then getting Matt Patricia as your offensive coordinator and being thrown from one to another your first 2 years. I just think he needs to get into the groove of it. And once he gets into a set offense, I really think he could do something.
Real quick, Denver, if you want, I will drive Matt Patricia to the airport right now. And I have his bags already packed.
He must be already in Denver.
I will make sure he stays in Denver. If he goes to the airport, I'll pick him up and I'll drive him back. Please take him. Please.
I don't think there's a scenario. I would be very, very surprised if Patricia's back here in any type of coaching role. I don't expect him to get that Denver job. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's – I mean, I've said it in past podcasts. If he's back as, like, Belichick's, like, bitch boy.
If he's anywhere away from the roster or the players, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did – like, he made some – I don't know how much effect he had on, like, the draft and signings and stuff when he was kind of in the front office. But, I mean, they made some solid moves – that year overall. So it's, you know, maybe that's where his best fit is. Just stay the hell away from the on-field.
Yeah, and
I mean, some of the play calls were just dreadful to watch. I mean, he was so predictable. He didn't keep things new. No. It was just bad.
And I'm just surprised that Joe Judge, out of both of them, is the one that still has kind of security. It's almost appalling, because I'd consider Joe Judge to be more detrimental than Matt Patricia really was, but they were both kind of knuckleheads at that point. But regardless of that, we were talking about security blankets, and that got me thinking about tight ends for a second, because I want to talk about our abysmal albatross of the two tight ends and our cap space there. What do you see potentially happening? Because I can see them vice versa-ing each other and going back and forth. I could see Hunter Henry getting cut and Jonnu getting restructured. Or I could see it happening the other way around, which I would prefer Henry to get extended and restructured and Jonnu to get cut. However, I know Jonnu's cap hit, even though the cap is kind of bullshit. I know his cap hit is a hell of a lot more than Hunter Henry's would be. And I know that guys like, you know, Robert Tonyan, Dalton Schultz are guys that we're hearing kind of rumblings about, and guys that I would like to see in Patriots uniforms, but A, are they feasible, and are they really likely to come here? And B, do you see either of those scenarios playing out, or what do you see actually playing out with that tight end position? Because like Haley was alluding to, with the slot position needing a blanket, I think your tight end needs to be your blanket guy. So I'm kind of curious to your guys' thoughts. I know we've talked about it a little bit before, you and I, Matt, but I really, now that things are clearing up in this position, want to know your guys' true thoughts on this now.
You can start us off.
So Hunter Henry, I think for me, he started the season a little slow, which I was a little disappointed. Personally, having him on my fantasy, so a little disappointing. I felt bad because, you know, I made my boyfriend pick him up, and he's like, seriously? I'm like, listen, it's really disappointing. Yeah, he just started the season pretty slow, but I think towards the end of the season, he really got into his position, but I just don't think he's confident yet. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion, is he's just not showing confidence in his role yet. And I just want him to be more present in the offense, but they didn't really use him too much, as much as I would have liked them to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty accurate for, you know, how it broke down this year, this past year. Going back to, like, this past season, it's tough to judge really anybody. Like, any of the weapons, any of the offensive line. Because they were so unbelievably handicapped by their coaching staff. Even the O-line, they only had, like, set play calls compared to previous years where there were in-game adjustments. That alone is going to cause issues. And then you have, like you mentioned, Jacob, but, like, maybe Thornton might be a bust or stuff like that. We have no idea, because he was with a bunch of clown shows leading the offense. So until we get to see, see what happens. In terms of, you know, the tight end position, I would be shocked if Henry's cut. Like, very shocked. I know we all know the love fest that Belichick and Henry had prior to Henry coming here. They both were like little girls gushing over each other. And I don't really think any of that's changed. I know his production isn't there, but Belichick a lot of times looks past what their production is and focuses on the quality of player. So I expect him to be extended. I think realistically adding another 2 years onto what his contract was, which was, I think, 3 years, 37 originally. So take that, that's, I don't know, just hair over 13 a year. If you gave him 2 years, 26, now that's a little bit more adjusted with the current cap compared to 2 years ago. So it's a little more reasonable. And not only that, that would cut down his cap hit by, I think it's around 7 to 8 million. Jonnu, I don't know, man. I don't know. You could cut him after June 1st and save a little over 4 million. Is that worth it? Probably not. Or if they could find a trade partner, they can save 10 if they trade him after June 1st. So that's maybe a possibility. But I think both of them will be back. And I think you just kind of hope that O'Brien can come up with a system and a game plan that, you know, we're never going to get what we hope.
Well, I think the big hope is because, you know, Bill O'Brien kind of helped birth Hernandez and Gronk in that two tight end set.
Those two talents were way better than what we have.
Johnny's fast, and Hunter Henry gets hurt a lot less.
But yeah, if you can get them in, you know, and get them back, even Henry just back to what he was in 2021, excuse me. And then if you can get 40 catches for 600 yards from Jonnu Smith, like, so be it. Like, it's not great. But, like, it's not terrible. And then at the end of next year, you can cut them in this minimal cap.
We didn't use them like we should have.
Used how they should have.
We're just not going to use our tight ends at all.
With the way tight end numbers have been coming the past couple of years, honestly, Matt, you cut that in half, and I would be happy if Jonnu got that, if he got 30 catches for 300 yards.
I think that's what he – I mean, that might have been what he did this year.
I think that's
– It's so easy to get 30 catches and 300 yards in the NFL.
Well, when you're given $80 million, it's a little bit different. After you get the contract, there's the big expectation. Crap. Yeah, he got somewhere close to like $80 million because he got the –
He had 27 and 245 this year. What an embarrassment.
Wow.
We kind of cut that. If they can get 40 and 400, like 35 and 400 yards, like it's an improvement – and he'll never, ever be worth what he was, like what we signed him for. But just take it what you can get this year and then cut bait. There's really not a point in cutting bait this year unless you can trade him after June 1st and not have to, like, give up anything significant just to, you know, get rid of the contract.
The number one issue was you signed two guys to be your number one tight end, and it just wasn't going to work out. I think had one or the other happened, I understand why, but Cam Newton's shoulder was garbage by that point, and you really weren't going to be able to develop the offense you wanted, and then you decided to change at the last second anyways. So you were never really going to get what you ultimately wanted that season.
I was fine with Henry's contract. It was John News, really, that... I mean, even, like, Henry wasn't great this past year, but, like, 13 a year, 337, like, still doesn't even look bad. Like, that bad in reality.
He only got that contract because of the 8 touchdowns. His numbers were not that ecstatic that year. Wow.
Jonnu's contract's the issue, and like, they're just going to be stuck with it. Because even if they cut him after June 1st and they were to sign, like, you know, someone you mentioned, like a secondary guy, it's like, all right, well, you're going to give him $4 million anyways, so you might as well just keep, you know, Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, and if there's any way that he's going to get traded or something, you're probably going to have to, you know, adjust his contract before that even happens, truthfully.
I don't think they'll adjust his contract if he's going to stay.
Probably not.
Because if you adjust his contract, it makes it harder for them to cut it. So they just have to fucking suck it up and eat it this year.
Because honestly, I don't see anyone wanting to trade for him, you know, with that, you know, price tag over his head. You know, that is a huge cap casualty as much as, you know, I believe the cap is just utter bullshit anyways. That's still a, you know, cap casualty of almost $20 million that you don't want on your books.
So let me just double check here. For a new team, so it should be noted, for a new team, he sucks and he's still not worth it. But for a new team, if they trade for him, they would be on the hook for 2 years, $23 million instead of the full. Because it's cash value for new teams. He's owed $23 million over the next two. So that's certainly more reasonable for a new team than his, what, 17.2 cap hit this year? And 18.4 next year. Good God. So it's a little more serviceable for another team. But, you know, maybe the Titans call. Or you call the Titans and...
Maybe.
Throw them a sixth and they give us a seventh and they can have him back.
I honestly would have thrown him a six for Robert Woods had they not just cut him today.
He's too old.
I know.
He's gonna go back to LA.
Probably. I wouldn't mind giving him a 1-year deal to come in and play slot for a year. He can just catch the ball for you. They released Zach Cunningham too. Oh my God.
Yeah, and one guy, I think he's a free agent that I would be with a temporary fix in the slot is Jarvis Landry. He's injury prone, but I think he's still solid, and he's good at the position.
I actually always preferred him over OBJ, just kind of because of that. Not that OBJ can't do that, but something about
OBJ has too much drama. I don't think Bill Belichick will roll with that.
And I think that storyline's outdated at this point. if that was kicking that 2017 OBJ where, you know, he's throwing his helmet and marrying the goddamn kick in that, for Christ's sakes. But I think he's been humbled a little bit the past couple of years, you know, not that I can speak personally for him, but I feel like his demeanor's definitely changed. I would happily bring him in at this point. I still think he can kind of be a bit of a, you know, diva sometimes. Obviously, that's always going to stick with him. But
that part, I think, just gives Bill Belichick, I don't know. Belichick is definitely staying out of drama.
We did do Randy Moss. We did do Randy Moss for 3 years.
Yeah,
that's so
true.
Belichick is, I don't think he's afraid to take, you know, some of the more drama kind of guys. I mean, he brought Aqib Talib in here too. That dude was more drama than probably all of them combined.
And we had Antonio Brown for a little bit, so
yeah, he brought in Antonio. I mean, that Antonio Brown was a panic signing to help please Tom Brady.
I could not believe that we had Antonio Brown. For a couple games?
we had the best receiving core in the league for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was literally 1 week. In Miami, 1 week. It was great while it lasted, but it was 1 week.
And then after that, it just all went down. It really went downhill after that Baltimore game, but that's a season I don't want to remember any more than I have to.
Oh, even Ocho Cinco they brought in. Ocho Cinco they brought in. Garrett Blunt was like Albert Haynesworth for a little bit.
They brought in Josh Gordon.
I don't think Belichick's afraid of, like, the drama guys. I just think that, you know, if you believe, and I do think Odell still has some in the tank, I think, like, if he finds the right spot, and I don't know if that's going to be, you know, New England, it's probably better options. But if he goes to a team with a quality quarterback, I mean, I expect him to put up good numbers. He was still damn good in L.A. once he got out of Baker Mayfield's doghouse, quite literally.
I'm sorry. So Brian, despite not recording with us, is directing through my phone right now. So I don't know if you've seen the group chat, but he is also blowing up my phone single-handedly just through text. We're going to change the topic. We apparently Brian has some questions. Haley, this is more of a topic for you, and I guess Matt and myself can just kind of give our outsider's perspective, but our perspective as men in this situation. And I don't know if any of you have seen what Danny just sent us, but my God.
Oh, are we talking about direct messages from athletes?
Yeah, we
guys stay out of the DMs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my number one
Reddick one was funny.
That you had Hassan Reddick and you were in the same vicinity as Nathan Eovaldi. Did you call him a bitch, by the way, or?
No, I didn't. Just because my boyfriend's best friend plays for Detroit, so if anything got back to him that I was harassing anybody, he would be very mad. So I have to stay out of his MLB drama. But the Hassan Reddick DM was just the most bizarre thing to me because
you're throwing them under, under the microscope.
Yeah, you know, no like no hesitation, no
hiding. I have to name drop. It's like I got a name drop.
Hassan Reddick was sliding in Haley's DMs.
It was the funniest, and I have no idea what to say because I'm like, okay, I am like 5 foot, not even. I'm like 4'11", 5 foot tall, and you are how big? Like this? No. I thought it was funny. I thought it was charming, and now my entire family. 6'1", 240. Yeah, every time he comes on TV, you know, my dad's like,
"Come on now, don't sugarcoat it. Charming was not the word that you were thinking."
No, I just, I mean, who slides into someone's DMs with eye emojis? I mean, come on, I gotta be sick of that.
Hassan Reddick does. You know,
when you're an NFL player, you can just send emojis and it gets the job done because people are just starstruck that you reply to them.
You got to be a lot slicker than that.
So, I am going to read the goddamn book that was sent here because, you know, obviously, I don't get DM'd a lot because I'm very ugly and unattractive, and I'm also a male, so I don't really have to deal with
that.
Say,
we're males.
Yes, we're
girls
also,
don't slide in.
Yeah. Oh, girls don't slide into DMs. No, God, professional athlete girls, especially.
In fact, my last DM from anyone today was actually from JR. Tell him to go fuck himself.
That was pretty much my only like good story. I had an offensive lineman from the Chiefs follow me in like my photos. I don't remember his name. He wasn't like
attractive
enough for me to remember. And he was married with kids, so I won't name drop him.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll say this: like looking at these DMs that Danny sent in, like we won't expose this kid.
I was gonna read it, but I don't know if I want to read that.
We don't need to like read the exact. It's just, you know, for anybody who is listening,
this is called desperation.
If they don't answer, if you DM a girl and they don't answer after like the third try,
please stop.
They're not going to answer the fourth or fifth or sixth or 15th time. So like just sending more messages without a response. It's like hope. Like what is your purpose? What do you think's going to happen? The answer is they're not going to answer you, and you're just going to look stupid, and you're going to end up having your messages screenshotted and sent into chats like this. So don't do it. It doesn't make any
don't
sense.
Do
it's
it.
Not going to work.
Don't do it. It's so, I mean, unless you really have game, but some of these guys don't have game. And if we don't reply to you after the first time you message us, just drop it. I mean, now you're just being weirdo.
I'll be honest, I'm a lost cause when it comes to stuff like that, because I'm genuinely just, I don't know what to say, and it feels awkward to me almost. It feels awkward sometimes to, like, even when I know the person or slightly know them, it almost feels like dirty in a sense. I never understood or could wrap my head around being able to do that. Like, I normally don't, but in those situations I do, because it's like I don't know, it just feels very weird. I can never wrap my head around it.
Don't send the eye emojis.
So to get a successful response, Haley, what do the men have to do? What do men have to do to get at least some sort of acknowledgement in that situation?
I mean, try to start a conversation. Don't just try to, I think the pickup lines are just so, like, let's have a real conversation. Like, let's be real human beings. Let's be, you know, don't send an emoji. Don't send my picture of myself and be like, oh, you're hot. Nobody wants to be called hot. Like, beautiful, pretty, gorgeous. Like, oh, you're hot. Like, come on. I mean, and the eye emojis, I think that really threw me for one, because we just want to be treated like humans, not like, oh, you're hot, you know? So I think just starting a real conversation, genuinely, that's what's going to get you the farthest.
You hear that, weirdos? Know how to talk to people. It goes a long way.
If they don't answer you, stop messaging them.
My rule of thumb is two messages. If I need to send any more than two messages,
and you get not one respond, double text, you can double text once, And, like, if they don't answer and a couple hours later you want to, like, try to get the conversation going about something else, you could take that one double text, one extra shot. If they don't answer you that second time, they're just clearly not interested enough to respond. And if they're not interested, they're not going to respond. Like looking keep at this thread, right. At the 15th time, do you think she's going to respond and all of a sudden you want to date you? Like, no.
You know,
it doesn't happen. So just, I mean, we can move on to
persistent
other stuff.
Yeah, so
it's just mind boggling.
God, this is just awkward. That's three screenshots worth of. Boy, gentlemen, gentlemen, if you have ever three screenshots worth of messages and it's saved somewhere on someone's phone, just know you fucked up.
We always save them. I'm sorry.
Once you get to like five messages, you fucked up. You big time fucked up.
Yeah, once you get to five, at that point, all of her friends know, and you're just like, really? That's just, and then you're being called desperate. So don't do it.
So, well, how many messages or how long does it take to get sent to the group chat there, Haley? Is there like a message limit, or is there like an almost like topic limit that just immediately's like, oh yeah, I'm exposing this guy and we're going to bully the everlasting hell out of him?
Yeah, it would be when you start with like the world's cheesiest pickup line and then we reply. And then after you're done with your pickup line, you're just like, you're so hot. And it's like, okay. Yeah, sending to the group because this guy's a douche. Like, okay, thanks. Like,
pickup lines are so overused that you have to be more than just clever.
Yeah.
Like, they can't be a cliche or, like Haley said, a cheesy pickup line. If you're going to go pickup line, it can't be like, you know, is your face okay because you fell from heaven? Like, dumb,
right.
Stupid
you
stuff
gotta
like
do that.
Are you
it has to be. It has to be something hella clever to the point where they not only respond, but if it's clever enough, they will send it to their friends and say, this was good.
If you guys do something good, of course.
You know what I've always found easier? Just doing it in person. Just talking.
People don't like face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to walk up to a girl in the bar?
Rip a shot, I'm good.
I'm not saying me personally, but
once you get out of the comfort zone, I just always found it easier to talk to people in person, because if you're gonna fall on your face, you know what, I'd rather know and be able to walk away than not.
I think
know
the bigger factor is if you do it with your friends around, like you don't want your friends to see you strike out, because then that's like that's the embarrassing part. If you're by yourself,
and honestly, we have more respect for you if you can do it to our face. Like, honestly, if you can come up and talk to us, I feel like that's a lot of props.
Oh, yeah.
Because that
the success rate is way higher.
Way higher, because that's, I mean, okay, you're gonna just sit here and text me through a phone, but if you can actually come up to my face, it's like, wow, you just earned a lot of my respect. You know, you're not hiding behind the phone, you're not trying to be like this fake person. Yeah. You're like up in my face, like you're being genuine.
Well, not only that, when someone DMs you, like, you have time to sit there and think about it, and it's so easy to just not even respond, never mind say like something negative back. You just don't respond. It's simple. In person, you can't, I mean, you can technically, but you can't really just not respond. If you just turn the other way and ignore them, I guess. But in person, you can't really not respond. So it's going to be way more successful. But we can move on. Let's talk about Robert Kraft allegedly, supposedly. Yeah.
You're welcome, Brian.
To keep Matt Jones. What are your thoughts, Haley and Jake, on that alleged report that Kraft is fully committed on the idea of Matt Jones?
I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant first, so I'll let you talk, Haley.
You know, I had a lot of high hopes in Mac. Was it disappointing last year? A little bit, but I did kind of cut him some slack because he didn't have, I don't know, I don't think he's gotten the gist of the team yet.
Children of the poor helping him.
Yeah, I'm just, I... Did I like Bailey Zappi? I did. And I thought, these two really need to have a good competition because I couldn't believe that Zappi just went out there with confidence. And I think that actually woke up Mac Jones because I think he came in a little bit overly confident, like, oh, this is my job. Like, this is my job. I'm going to keep my job. So I think having that little bit of competition, healthy competition, doesn't hurt anybody. And I think it was good. I think he got a little bit of, okay, you know, I'm not safe here. I think it just made him and could make him better in the future. So I'm just excited to see where he goes. This is his season to really show us and Pat's Nation that he's here to stay. Because there's so many young QBs right now, and he really, really has to show that he's the face of this franchise, and he's going to be our quarterback for a long time. But if he doesn't really show up this season, I mean, we can't keep him. We can't. We have this season is going to be a really big one for him, and I think he knows that. He's been posting a lot about his workouts. He's getting ready for the season, and he's been really putting in the work during this offseason. So just this is really his year to show everybody and tune all the haters out, I guess.
I want to go back to a specific date and time. We're gonna go back to October 24th, 2022. October 24th, 2022 just so happened to be a Monday Night Football game against the Chicago Bears. No, we're going to go back because it is the most memorable part of the season, seeing Bailey Zappi run out onto the field and the entire stadium erupt. The cheer, the glee, it was almost like a playoff game. Brady was running onto the field ready to lead a game-winning drive. That's what it felt like. And then we go downfield, touchdown immediately, make it 14-7, get the ball back, touchdown immediately, make it 14-14 or 14-10. I think we took the lead actually at one point, and then we, you know, lost the lead and lost the game at that point. But that was a moment in time where on national television, everyone got to see firsthand just exactly what was going on in New England and its quarterback situation. You went into that game with the mindset that you were going to not only start Mac Jones, but you were going to play him and Zappi. And then when Mac Jones kind of was mediocre, I think he threw the pick, and then Zappi comes in and throws a touchdown. That's a bad look. When your backup quarterback is getting cheered and you're getting booed to oblivion on Monday Night Football, that's a bad look. And then you came out the rest of the way, the rest of the season, and you played well. You showed us why, you know, you should be a starter year one. You showed us why you could be a starter after you responded against, you know, that with that Bears game and how you responded the rest of the season. In year three, this is a very telling year. There's so many things that could happen. If Bill O'Brien can help Mac Jones turn around, or just Mac Jones doesn't have the incompetence of a coach that's never run an offense before, you know, and can show that he's the guy that we all thought he was after year one. You know, my fear is, especially if now we're also getting the report, because I mentioned this earlier, we see Zappi and Mac as the same, and, you know, or they see Zappi and Mac as the same in that building. That's terrifying. That terrifies me. So this is a very telling year for Mac in terms of how he's going to separate himself from not only Zappi, but from how he's viewed in this, you know, community and the rest of the league as well. Guy made a Pro Bowl his first year. It was a, you know, substitute, but he showed us that he could play quarterback. And this is where we talk about getting him the number one wide receiver, doing all this. And this is why I keep bringing back up Daniel Jones as well, is because if he comes out in year three and plays phenomenally, well, now we got to think about his fifth year option. If we don't pick up his fifth year option and maybe he comes out in year four and plays well, well, now we're in our Daniel Jones situation. Do we got to franchise tag him, or how much money is he going to ask? Do we going to put ourselves in a hole or in a place that we don't want to be in? So there's so many things that could turn out that way. But, you know, Mac needs to prove it first. You know, I don't think he can. It's not like I don't think he can go down the same route Daniel Jones does or better, but he's got to do that first. But to know to know that there's real no clear-cut number one 2 years after you drafted a guy, number 15 overall, and you have, I think Zappi's a fourth-round pick, and you see no clear difference between the two, that's not good. That's really not good. And I want to believe in Mac, and I respect Kraft for wanting to keep him one more year because I think he deserves one more year, especially being a first-round pick. Things aren't really looking too bright in how he's viewed right now, and that kind of disparages me. So I'm very kind of concerned with how Mac could potentially play out this year, but I'm glad that Kraft is at least sticking by him, and someone is, and the best guy to do that is the owner of the frickin' franchise. So if you're going to be the franchise, at least having the franchise behind your back is a good sign.
I think that's a pretty good, you know, breakdown point. I think Chicago, that game, when he was coming back from the injury, they should have just not played him if they were going to play Bolt.
I didn't want him to play that game.
Yeah, if they were going to play him, they should have either stuck with him or just not played him at all. It was a terrible look. You know, as a whole, I think both of you guys were kind of spot on. Haley, when she mentioned that Mac came into the year a little too comfortable with who he was in the position he was in. Now, his when we drafted him, what we loved about him was his brain, his accuracy, and his work ethic. That he was that guy that was always going and trying to improve. He was going to be that guy staying late like Brady was, and we were going to have a magical rerun of another franchise quarterback. Now, that still could be true. But the fact that he got a little too complacent going into year two says to me, like, you need to grow the hell up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a young kid, and I mean, we're all younger, so we can kind of relate to, I mean, I'm 27. When I was 21, 22, 23, I was a demo compared to my man now.
I'm the same age as yeah. Mac, probably think the same way he does, you know.
Right.
Exactly. So I kind of get that, but it's, you know, you're in the NFL, you need to wake the hell up. And even some of the, I really, by the end of the year, got a little sick of his antics kind of on the field and the whining. And it was all justified because holy effing shit. Like, looking back and from what we heard from Callahan about the report of really what went on in you know, the coaching staff and all that, like, it was probably fully justified. But you telling me there's not moments where during Brady's time here or really anywhere around the NFL every year where players, they want to straight up kick their coaches in the face. Like, it happens nonstop. There's no need for him to act the way he did. Right. But, I mean, I still believe in him.
Chuck Nolan, Terry Bradshaw.
I still believe in him to come in this year. The priority is simple. You mentioned Daniel Jones earlier. You know, Daniel Jones with Joe Judge looks like a lost child in an open field surrounded by, I don't know, a bunch of bears, you know, chasing after him. Like, he had no idea what was going on. And then you bring in Brian Daboll, and all of a sudden, like, he looks like he is going to get paid. Oh, God, $45 million. But same thing with Trevor Lawrence, with Doug Peterson. And then kind of the same thing with Tua, like, sort of. Like, the priority is you got to get Mac a weapon, and you got to get you now that you have him good coaching, you have to give him another opportunity. You know, so when Kraft kind of, to go back to that point, when Kraft said, supposedly has said, you know, he's the guy, 150% he's the guy in 2023, he's probably correct. Like, I don't see how you can logically just give up on him. You know, if he was making $25 million this year, that would be different. But he's making chump change still. You know, get him a goddamn weapon, and now you're going to have a coaching staff where he can play confident. He was not at any point last year playing with confidence. Really, how could you blame him? So it's really, you know, I agree with Kraft. I think it's good. I don't love that he said it, kind of. You get what I'm saying? Because he's the coach. I kind of would rather Belichick say it, but we know that he's not going to say it.
You're right.
And so it's kind of a little fuzzy on that end of things. But They need to display confidence in him, and then he needs to wake the hell up and take that, that he knows the coaching staff and ownership has confidence in him, and run with it, and you know, bounce back next year and get the Patriots back to the playoffs. So,
yeah, I think seeing Trevor Lawrence do so well year two, it was like, that's kind of what we were expecting out of Mac Jones. And I know the Jags went out and got him his weapon. He got Christian Kirk. And I mean, they were doing great together, but now they're in the talks. Like, the Jags is the team to beat next year. It's like, that's just where we wanted to be in that position with Mac Jones. And we didn't end up there. So I'm really hoping this year he really does do what we want him to do, because last year was just kind of a disappointment. And I was really disappointed because I had really high hopes for him. And Trevor Lawrence came out and he had a hell of a year. And he played with a lot more confidence. And I just feel like, you know, they're both at the same level. I feel like, how can you let Trevor Lawrence outplay
confidence
you?
Confidence is everything.
Confidence
is everything.
That's why Joe Burrow's good.
True. That is very true.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's just really good too. But Joe confidence, he's Joe Burrow exudes confidence.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
sometimes like the whole fake it till you make it thing, like it doesn't really apply to like talent and on the NFL, you know.
You can fake it till you make it, or until Eli Apple forgets how to play man coverage inside the five.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, well, be careful. He might come for you.
Fake it till you make it. They made it. They're in the NFL, so they made it. So you can't really fake it anymore. But if you don't have confidence, so hard. I said this on the last podcast. It is so hard to be good in the NFL as a quarterback. Like, so unbelievably difficult. If you don't have confidence in what you're doing, and where your wide receivers are going to be and what the play calls are, you're never going to be good. And if your offensive coordinator calls 22% screen passes, you're also going to be good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Screen, pass, before the sticks, run to the outside, pitch. You know what kind of shocks me? I do want to talk about this real quick before we ultimately close up. Because this is just something that popped into my head. The New England Patriots pitching the ball, that is something that has drastically changed the past couple of years. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but the Patriots almost used to never pitch the ball. In fact, beforehand, the last time I really remember them doing it was when Corey Dillon was in-house back in, you know, the early 2000s. I don't remember them doing it much with Blunt. I know they did it a couple times with Jonas Gray in that Colts game, but they're pitching the ball a lot more. And you know, given how fundamentally the Patriots have always been around keeping the ball in, you know, your hands and not transitioning it much, it just kind of shocks me. This is just a little talking point. It just shocks me that they are incorporating a lot more outside zone runs and pitches than they have been in the past.
So they, how do I basically give this analogy? They attempted to bring in Shanahan's zone schemes and outside zone schemes to the run game. The problem was, they were basically, it's like a 12-year-old watching a YouTube video of how to put a car engine bat together, and then watching it one time through, and then trying to put the car engine back together. You had two imbeciles trying to run a zone scheme in an offensive line scheme, in a passing scheme, in an entire offense predicated off of one of the most intelligent offensive minds in football. So that's what it came down to. That's why they're doing more outside pitches. And some of it worked because you have a good running back and you have some good pieces in the offensive line. So at times it worked. But that's what happened. And that's why they're doing it. Get rid of it. Go with what Bill O'Brien, whatever the hell Bill O'Brien says, that's what they need to do this year.
I mean, I don't mind it, especially when I see Stevenson, especially after he gets the edge. I do like seeing that view. Otherwise, I'm not a big fan of it. Anyways, with that, I think that might just about do it, folks. Time flies when you're having fun. We've been doing this for about an hour now, and unless we have anything more to talk about on a slow news day, or anything to double cover, I think we might be done for the day, folks. So
I just have one comment, and it's non-football related.
Ooh, surprise me.
Okay.
One big comment.
What do you got?
One big comment. The Boston Red Sox
should
extend Alex Verdugo.
I was just about to say, he just showed up with the grill, so we got to extend him, right?
Yeah, I'm actually releasing an article. Well, when people hear this, it will already be released of what they should do and kind of a mock offer for him and stuff like that. They, like, people are so incredibly underrating him as a player. I mean, the league average is 244 the last 3 years, and this guy's hitting in the 280s. Like, that alone is valuable in the MLB. So
I'll like to see him come back. I'm, you know, if he got...
He's under contract for 2 more years, like this year and next year already. But
if his AAV was somewhere around 17, 18 million, maybe close.
It's going to be less than that.
I'd give him something like that.
Quick breakdown into the mock proposal I did. What Hein Bloom has done a lot of times is we've seen it with Story, Turner, and Paxton over the last few years. Give him 3 years, roughly 13 a year, the first 3 years. If they want to keep him past that, after year two, they can pick up another 2-year option. So that would turn it into a 5-year deal. But those last 2 years will be for, let's say, 17 or 18 million. And if they decline it, they give him a buyout after 2026, which would be the third year of the contract, or he can opt in for one more year at a lower salary. It's a little confusing as you hear it, you know, from my voice, but it's what the Bloom's kind of done. Yeah, and I think at worst he would get, you know, 3 years, a 3-year contract at like 14 a year after everything. At the best, he gets like a 5-year, $75 million-ish contract, similar to what Andrew Benintendi just signed.
Yeah, he just signed with the White Sox, right? Not too long ago.
Quite honestly, I think I would rather Verdugo.
At this point, I would too.
Solid.
He started good with the Royals. He sucked on the Yankees, but he was just
gonna have a breakout year.
He was just a mole.
You heard it here first.
Well, you heard
Masataka Yoshida is gonna win Rookie of the Year. Thank you very much. This is my TED Talk.
you know what? I'm gonna get on that train with you, Matt. Matt, where can all these other fine folks that are listening and maybe watching us someday, where can they hear all your bold takes, and where can they find that beautiful article of yours that you're gonna release soon?
You can find me on Twitter at MattCouture5, C-O-U-T-U-R-E, MattCouture5, and I am a writer for Belly Up Sports.
Yes.
So if you follow me on Twitter, you will get to see all those articles, or you can go on BellyUpSports.com and search my name, and I give all my great takes, and they're all correct takes. So if you're looking for one, there you go.
Is one of your five things the Red Sox should do this year is fire Hein Bloom? Is that in the top five?
No. I didn't do five that they should do. I said five bold predictions.
Oh, five.
Yoshida wins MVP. Sale leads the team in wins. Bello leads the team in ERA. They win 88 games. And speaking of the topic, my bold prediction, it's not what I hope happens, but my bold prediction is that Verdugo does not finish the year with the team.
This
was three or four weeks ago before, you know, this came out and stuff like that. But
what were you thinking at the time?
My thought process is they have Yoshida in left field. If you do sign Verdugo long term, you know, corner outfield is one of the biggest, when you talk about stars in the MLB, a lot of them are corner outfielders. So if you lock up both long-term, it kind of limits you in that sense. And if Verdugo is having a solid year and, you know, they choose to wind back the clock and maybe trade him for a pitcher, hypothetically, maybe they need a star pitcher and they use him for a star pitcher. In one of those scenarios, like Lester for Cespedes years ago, you needed to trade a major league guy to get another one at the deadline.
Yeah.
Something like that.
God, and then you have multiple
prospects that are between Rafael and Blyce, or Blyce, or whatever his name is. You have multiple guys that are going to be coming up in the wings in the outfield. So that was my bold prediction at the time, but I would prefer just extend them.
Yeah, I don't want to get rid of Verdugo. I don't like that bold take, but respect.
Where can we find you, Haley, on Twitter?
Yes.
Oh, God, I think do I remember my Twitter? I do. It's Hazer1024. I actually made it when I was, the sixth grade, so it's the most embarrassing username. And Twitter, please let us change it. Please.
It's all right. I still use the same passwords from, my first Facebook.
Oh, it's okay. Me too.
Oh, God. I just have all one password now, but I had to remake
my Facebook. I have, three or four, but... One of my main that I use is when I first made Facebook, my friend made it for me, and he just made up this password, and it has stuck with me. I still use it for probably a third of my logins. So if you ever figure out that password, you have access.
You're screwed. Figure out my
that's most people. Most people have
maybe
three passwords.
You figure out my password, and I'm toast in terms of everything. My all my information's gone. Every last bit of it's gone. Done. See you.
All right, Jakey Poo. Where do we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JakeyPooBear1. Really just annoying the everlasting hell out of JR. I don't really do too much on the timeline. I'm more of a scrolling ninja, but you can see me from time to time making sure that JR remembers that I am his superior. And that he is at home having a headache because he's not me. that's about all I could say there. But hope you feel better, buddy. And then, of course, you can find Brian, who's not here as well, at TTM Brian on Twitter. We want to wish him well as well. He had a little bit of trouble tonight. But in terms of that, thank you for joining us for another unorthodoxed episode. And we'll probably see you next week.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Check back in. I'll be screaming about the Red Sox until the season starts. So.
Oh, hopefully it's not as traumatizing as last baseball season. So.
It always will be if we're a Red Sox.
It will be. Wins. Red Sox. Keep us on our toes.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Looking for somewhere to place a bet? Looking for sportsbook, live betting, casino, racebook, and promotions? Right now, you can go to betus.com. Betus.com will allow you to join easily. There's a 125% sign-up bonus, a 200% crypto bonus, and more. Place all your bets, make lots of winnings with betus.com.
Oh, thank you.